This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Closing in on Election Day, November 6th, we're visiting with statewide and congressional candidates around the state. Today, we hear from Congressman Tim Walberg, the Republican running for re-election in Michigan's 7th District. He recently spoke with Stateside's Lester Graham.
In your campaign this year, you've been stressing bipartisanship, noting your work with Member of Congress Debbie Dingell, a Democrat who's from a district which borders yours. At the same time, the American Conservative Union and GovTrack both rank you as one of the most conservative members of Congress in Michigan. So how do you reconcile those two things, bipartisanship and being on one end of the political spectrum?
Well, we're probably emphasizing it because the other side is attempting to try to display me as a conservative that can't work with anybody, and that's just false. I think conservatives can work with people when you have good ideas that you can share, and whether it's Debbie Dingell or Dan Kildee on the Flint issue, water issue, or working with Representative Blunt Rochester from Delaware, former insurance state insurance commissioner on an annuity safe harbor bill that I authored, and she was my prime co-sponsor. When we can work together on those things, why not? When I can have a bill signed by President Obama, I'll take it. When he has a good idea that works for all of us, I certainly am willing to support that and have in the past. And the same is true with this new administration. So probably we've talked more about bipartisanship because there's been a pushback from the other side trying to display me as one who can't work simply because I'm a conservative.
I want to talk about a couple of positions. The Lansing State Journal asked you and your opponent about Proposal 2. That's the move to appoint an independent commission to draw legislative and congressional district maps and to end gerrymandering. Your opponent, Democrat Gretchen Driscoll, says she supports it. You didn't exactly say whether you support Proposal 2 or not. How will you be voting?
Well, I'll be voting no, very clearly. I'm not sure why it didn't come out that I'm opposed.
Yeah, what he said was you served in districts drawn by both parties and right. The elections have consequences, which didn't make it clear to me. Maybe I'm just a little
slow.
Yeah,
elections do have consequences. And the beauty of the way we do it here in the state right now, the APOL plan, Bernie APOL was a Democrat who set the plan in place that we've functioned under for quite some time now. And during the last two reapportionments, there's been no objection that has been sustained or really brought forward by either party to what the districts were reapportioned into and redistricted into. And I think that's because we have that plan that requires the legislature to establish the plan based upon the requirements of the system, the Bernie APOL system. The governor has a say in it, and the Supreme Court ultimately has a say to say, did you follow the rules? We're also a voters' rights state, so you have to have a percentage of minority districts that are arranged so that it will be a minority district. I think that makes a problem for minorities, but that's the way it's set in law. So you have to do it. So there has to be some gerrymandered look just to get those districts into place. My concern is this voters, not politicians, is really not accurate in its title because it takes away the voters' responsibility and right and privilege to elect the people from their own districts who will establish the redistricting plan. That's the state legislature. And now it gives it to one person who will make the decision.
Well, 13 people.
Well, it's one person who will select those 13 people.
Right, the Secretary of State.
The Secretary of State, and that could be a Democrat or Republican, and so it's one person that selects those. And I think you can pick Republicans. I think you can pick Democrats. But people that are totally out of any party and have no relationship to a member of Congress or a precinct delegate or someone else, wow, it seems to me that that will cause significantly more problems with gerrymandering.
Let's talk about your district. What do you think the biggest problems the residents of the 7th District face right now?
I think what they face right now is the continuation of the positive growth that's taken place as a result, I think, of some policies both at the federal and state level that have produced jobs. Right now we're having a hard time filling those positions. Why do I say that's a problem? When you have a business person that for some time has had the struggle with just the economics issue, and now we have a growing economy, we have more jobs coming back to the United States and to Michigan. And we have plants, manufacturing facilities, engineering centers, hospitals that need nurses, and we don't have the people to fill those jobs. that can possibly frustrate the forward movement and giving more opportunities to individuals. So that's a key issue that we're looking at. Education is another, to make sure that we have the educational resources there, not only for K-12, but done in such a way that we encourage our young people and adults to find that sweet spot and then to have the training opportunities, whether it be in a four-year institution like the one we're surrounded here, University of Michigan, or whether it be an apprenticeship program, a certification, training center, community college, anything that will provide training for people for real-world jobs that will give them a profession that they can expand in.
As you mentioned, there are manufacturers supplying auto companies in your district, and you've got a major automobile plant, the GM Delta plant, within your district. What do you think of the aluminum and steel tariffs that President Trump has levied on Canada?
Well, so far, I think it's working. I'm not a tariff guy. I'm a free trade, fair trade guy. But as we've had the opportunity to look at what's going on with this administration, they're using tariffs as a tool or maybe even a weapon. Because that's what's in place right now, tariffs and taxes. And America for too long has been treated wrongly. And with disproportionate tariffs put on our goods. And so finally to have an administration that says it's got to end. And it will be a battle, maybe even result in a war, of trade war, not with guns and missiles, but a trade war. But in the end, if it produces something that lasts for decades for the benefit of our citizens here in Michigan and other places, it's probably worth it. And so far what we're seeing with the most recent reorganization of NAFTA into a U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement, which I've had contacts from all of the entities in my district, GM, FCA, Chrysler, and Toyota, Ford, have all contacted me and saying, hey, what we've seen with that new trade agreement seems to be working in our direction, especially with the requirements for the extensive North American content. So it appears to be working. We're seeing India now asking to come to the table. Korea, we've settled with Korea, I think a good trade agreement. Japan is now asking to reignite the process of working through a negotiation. And I think all of that says to China, you are being marginalized here very quickly with the European Union now buying soybeans and LNG from us. Putin in Russia has to take notice of that because that steps into what they've been selling over to the European Union states. So while it can have some mess, and while I've always wanted to be short-term and targeted, I think we're seeing some positive impact.
PFAS contamination is being discovered all over the state, as you know. It's just the latest legacy pollution problem that Michigan's facing. You've encouraged the EPA to relax environmental regulations on some businesses in some circumstances. Are you concerned that that could result in the next pollution issue contaminating the land, the water, or the air?
Well, you always have to have that concern. But you have to have the concern as well that you cross that fine line or stay with that fine line between encouraging continued advancement in our industry, our business, our economy, as well as remain good stewards of the resources we have. Use it, but protect it as well. And I think that's why what I've encouraged has been in the area of regulations that don't deal with the actual environment, but really step into the place that there ought to be decisions made either at the state level or at the industry level themselves.
Can you give me an example?
Well, if you look at what took place with EPA pushing the Waters of the U.S. rules, they ought to be looking at our rivers and streams. That's their responsibility. They ought to be looking at the Great Lakes, making sure that we have Great Lakes Restoration Initiative fully funded. And we fought together as Republicans and Democrats here in the Great Lakes states and in Michigan specifically to make sure that it's remained fully funded, both when the last administration under Obama zeroed it out and when this administration zeroed out, and we kept it in. But most recently, we had an opportunity to bring EPA in and look at the PFAS situation. They're responsible there for those streams and rivers. But when we get to farm puddles, drainage ditches, and the like, that's not their responsibility. We have DEQ and state resources to do that. And so you're taking away opportunities, responsibilities, and time and energy as well as dollars to do stuff that EPA ought to do.
That idea was to protect wetlands, which are, you know, the birthplace of all life for the waters, right? So how do you balance that?
And I truly think the DNR and DEQ in Michigan, with feet on the ground, can do a better job than EPA. And we saw that when the EPA relaxed what they were supposed to do with Flint, everything broke loose. And there was a failure at all levels of government. But EPA was responsible for that. And so getting into areas that can be dealt with and have been dealt with very well by our state's entities, Natural Resources, DEQ, and taking time away and dollars away from doing those things hurt. And I think PFOS, PFAS, that's something that we're finding now. There will be other things in the future. But if we keep in our sphere of influence as opposed to stepping out of boundaries, I think we'll be better off for it.
While we're on the subject of environment, I wanted to ask you, what do you think we should do about climate change?
Well, I think we should remain stewards of the resources we have, but understand that climate change has gone on since the beginning. There have been cycles that have taken place. We've seen that. I've grown through some of those in my 67 years, and we've had changes. Are there man influences to climate? Oh, absolutely. I don't debate that at all. But I'd say let's make sure as well that we keep in perspective that America has gone an awful long way, a very long way, in cleaning up our problem and now sustaining good efforts on our resources. But other countries like India, China, etc., are the ones that we need to fixate on and push them to do what's necessary and not give them an agreement that says in 30 years, China, you'll come up with a plan. That's too late. Push back. They're the ones. The plume that's coming from China, for instance, impacts us more than what we're doing ourselves.
There was a report out that we've done a good job of reducing CO2 emissions from smokestack industries, mm-hmm. But we haven't made the progress we can on tailpipe emissions because, one, people are driving more because there's more cheap gas and it's a big economy. And two, the president has decided that we are not going to have these requirements in the future that the Obama administration put in to reduce CO2 out of the tailpipe. What do you think of that?
Well, I think you need to look at the reality out there. We certainly have made significant impact on tailpipe emissions. You know, I grew up on the south side of Chicago, and I remember just constant smell of the diesel fuel from the buses, the cars belching smoke, the
trucks. On those kind of pollutants, but we're talking about CO2.
We're doing that. But we've also made improvements there as well. It comes down to the costs and the impact for the outcome. And right now, the excessive costs for a very limited impact should cause us to think, should we slow it down, still move that direction, but let's not frustrate the economy that for the first time, really, in history, we have true competitors around the world that are gaining on us rapidly and will impact our standard of living and even the way that we deal with those issues in the future of having the resources to do it. So while we need to keep progressing, let's do it in a legitimate way that moves forward steadily but doesn't frustrate the rest of the economy.
Tim Walberg is the Republican representative of the 7th Congressional District. He's running for re-election. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
Congressman Tim Walberg, who is running for re-election, and now we hear from his opponent, Gretchen Driscoll, the Democrat running in the 7th District race. Here she is speaking with Stateside's Lester Graham.
This is the second time you've challenged the incumbent, Tim Walberg. Last time in 2016, he won with 55% of the vote. The boundaries were drawn to make the 7th a Republican district, so the odds are still not in your favor. Why run again?
I think the environment is completely different. It started back in 2017, January. I just went out and started listening after I finished my term in the State House, and a completely different environment, a lot of engagement and activism from all sorts of different groups, grassroots groups. County parties are a lot more active, the Democratic County Party. So just there's a completely different environment. And what I hear is people are still really hungry for change. It was a change election. People are anti-establishment, anti-D.C. Mr. Walberg is about what's worst about D.C., you know, with taking all this special interest money and really not showing up to help out in the communities in the district.
Both of you responded to questions from the Lansing State Journal. I was looking at those. You indicated you support Proposal 2, which would turn redistricting over to independent commission rather than let politicians draw the map. Wahlberg didn't answer the question directly, but he said he served in districts drawn by both parties and that elections have consequences. Why do you support this proposal to end gerrymandering in Michigan?
Because I think that we need a balanced democracy, and we don't have a balanced democracy right now. I think the voters are completely frustrated that we get more Democratic vote over the statewide, and yet that's not reflected right now in the state house. My district in—
Or in Congress.
Right, yeah. In Congress also, but my district in the state house, which is part of this whole seventh gerrymandering, is just wraps around completely around Ann Arbor. I mean, it's ridiculous, and there's some really tough districts around the state and the state house. And then my seventh congressional district that I'm running for, same thing. They basically took out the county that the Democratic congressperson was in, Calhoun County, so— It basically jumps around Calhoun County.
That's when Mark Schauer was
right,
the
exactly.
Yeah, rep. Mm-hmm. If you're elected, what's the first issue you'll tackle in Washington?
Campaign finance reform. I think it's ridiculous the amount of
does
money.
That, does that register with the voters? I mean,
yes.
You know, usually so it's the economy, right?
Well, I think the economy is really important, but I think in order to do good work on the economy, you need to have campaign finance reform and have disclosure on who's funding different campaigns. A lot of that is not transparent right now, and people are really cynical. Part of it is the gerrymandering that you mentioned, and part of it is that people feel like they are not being represented by their congressman because that person is being – their campaigns are being paid for by special interests. So there's a lot of cynicism out there right now. The economy is also a big issue, jobs in particular, good-paying jobs. The jobs that pay the bills close to home here in the 7th haven't really come back since the recession last decade. And so that's an issue I hear. You know, we have a lot of small towns across the 7th that are still trying to bring those jobs that pay decent wages. And there's a lot of things that we could be doing at the, you know, as a partner in Congress with the local communities.
Yeah, we should explain the 7th District. Basically, it takes in several counties on the bottom tier right on the Ohio border and then kind of snakes its way up to west side of Lansing,
right.
which is weird and something I want to talk about in a little bit. What do you think the biggest problem for residents of the 7th face?
Economic issues, and right now, affordable health care, prescription drug costs, economic insecurity. So health care, and then I hear from a lot from seniors, you know, prescription drug pricing, and also they're feeling very vulnerable because of the skyrocketing deficit that's going to affect, you know, there's been talk at the federal level about cutting Social Security and Medicare, and I hear much more alarm about that right now than I heard 2 years ago. And well, we have a much bigger deficit than 2 years ago, so I think that's warranted because there have been discussions in D.C. about cutting.
I saw on your website that you supported President Trump's tariffs on steel and aluminum imports. The automakers and suppliers say those tariffs are hurting the industry. There are lots of parts suppliers and at least one major auto plant, the GM Delta plant in the 7th District. So why do you support the steel and aluminum tariffs?
Well, I support fair trade and the effort to have creative solutions. And I think that President Trump originally started out with trying to make sure that was the effort to have fair trade and steel dumping. You know, the dumping was an issue. I'm glad to see that we have worked on, you know, devil's in the details here with a new NAFTA UMCA.
But, USMCA.
USMCA,
yes.
Sorry. And I'm really glad to see that our Canadian, which is such a predominant trading partner and really, really important that we have a strong trade relationship with them. So I just support fair trade. In the 7th, we have a lot of folks that are disenfranchised because of automotive and the transition and the movement of jobs outside of the 7th that are automotive based.
I guess to get back to this, tariffs, I mean, I think a lot of people understood tariffs against China or other countries that have been accused of dumping steel and aluminum. But when you have tariffs against our partners like Canada, that's less understandable, and especially of concern, like I said, to the automakers.
Sure. So I support the concept of fair trade and putting tariffs on. I didn't support on Canada per se. I supported it in concept in the beginning to make sure that we have fair trade. And really what we're trying to do is make sure that we hold accountable our trading partners for fair trade and have a trade that's more balanced and so that we can, again, bring those good-paying jobs back to our communities here in the 7th.
You and your opponent differ on positions on legalizing recreational marijuana in Michigan. Tell me where you stand on that ballot proposal.
I think that's a very controversial ballot proposal. I think there's a lot of pros and cons to it. I talk to a lot of people across the district, and I hear very mixed feelings. So my position on that is I would be a representative of the people. So if the majority of the people in the district vote for it, I support it. I support medical marijuana. I think that medical marijuana is a very viable solution for a lot of folks, and we need to talk about it, and ultimately we'll see what happens in the polls.
One of the concerns that Wahlberg brings up and gets back to economy is that a lot of manufacturers are finding that the applicants for jobs don't pass the drug test, the mandatory drug test that they have in many companies but for insurance reasons. How much of a concern is that?
Well, I think, you know, other states have dealt with legalizing marijuana. I think that's something that we would have to deal with. That's what I would say. I hear from public safety. I mean, I hear from a lot of different perspectives. And I think that's part of a job as a congressperson is to listen to all those perspectives. But at the end of the day, if the voters in this state want to have recreational marijuana, I will support that with the idea that we will make sure we address those concerns that we have. The thing about the workforce is that we need to get more training and job preparedness. We need to get the folks that are living in the 7th the ability to get trained in those skilled trades so that they can get in those good-paying jobs close to home.
As you know, there's a deep partisan divide in this state and in this country. How do you think we can get past that?
Well, you know, as a small-town mayor for 14 years, I worked with two previous congressmen, Joe Schwartz and Mark Schauer. I think that when you focus on solving problems and not come from it from a partisan perspective, it's very easy to do. It has a mindset, though. I think you have to listen to understand folks from different points of view. But at the end of the day, I believe very, very strongly that collaboration and working together, I think different ideas and more ideas actually makes a better outcome than just one single narrow agenda. And so I actually am really excited because I've been recruited to join the Problem Solvers Caucus. I don't know if you've heard about that, but that is truly a bipartisan caucus. And the chair has heard about my interest in being bipartisan. And I asked if, you know, Mr. Wahlberg was on that, and he said he's not. He's a very conservative congressperson, and he doesn't fit the bill. But basically, the caucus is, if I join as a congressperson, as a Democrat, I would need to find a Republican, and they do the sticky issues like affordable health care and immigration and gun safety. And so those are things that are really, really important to the majority of our constituents, and they want to see somebody working across the aisle and stop saying, well, you're from this party, but what's the issue? How do we solve it?
Gretchen Driscoll is the Democratic candidate running to represent the 7th Congressional District. Thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me here. It's great to be here.